Okay, so a few problems pending. One question is, if you have a large Eruv, you place a large Eruv, and then you end up eating half of it. Okay? But it's still a kezias. It's still a kezias. So is it still good? Smaller than it used to be. So the Gemara calls it that you leave over a mashu. But it's considered a mashu relative to what was originally there. Because it's much smaller. So do you say that there is still good? Or you say no, it doesn't work anymore. So the question is, what's that? I'm gonna. Yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking it's similar to what all you guys are saying. But let's just do it slowly. Okay? Slowly in steps. So I think the first step is, what is the Eruv? Because the Eruv has to still exist, right? We know if you eat the Eruv, it doesn't work anymore. So you set up an Eruv, and the Eruv has to exist, right? So you need the Eruv, right? If it's gone, then it's gone. If you take it and replace it with a different object, that's not the Eruv, right? Somebody can't just take it and put some other object that doesn't work, right? So you need the Eruv.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically the Eruv has to exist. If the Eruv is gone, then the Eruv is gone. So the question is, what is the Eruv? Okay, so let's take the case, because it seems to me that the Gemara and Rashi, or at least Rashi, is saying that the Gemara's case is talking about specifically where you had a full kikar. Okay, you start with the kikar. So you take a kikar, a loaf of bread, a challah, let's call it a challah, and you place the Eruv. So what is the kikar? What is the Eruv? Is the Eruv the kikar? Like a kikar, see, here's the point, is that in the realm of the culinary, okay, in terms of food, a kikar is not just bread, right? There's bread, there's a slice of bread, and there's a kikar. A kikar is a different, it's a chashav, it's a new object. It's chashivos. It's like a qualitative thing. It's not just, a kikar isn't just quantitatively bigger than a slice of bread. It's a new quality of a kikar. It's chashivos, right? But at the same time, in a certain framework, you could say a kikar is just a lot of bread. I mean, there's two ways to look at a kikar. I mean, in terms of like your stomach or whatever, a kikar is a kikar, what's the difference? It's a certain amount of ounces of grams of bread. No difference. But there is a framework of like hashivas of ochlem where a kikar is a new quality. It's more chashiv, psychologically, whatever it is. You see, you should make a bracha on a kikar. Because halach, you should make an ashalim. That's more chashiv to make a bracha. Right? That's why we make the bracha on the shalim on Shabbos. That's really, it's not a din of Shabbos. It's a din really of shleimus in general. You should make bracha on. Even not on Shabbos. It's because of bracha. So the question is, and then my question is let's say I use a kikar for my Erev. So let's say, what is the chafta shel Erev? Is the chafta shel Erev the kikar? So if that's the case, then if you're shir menu kolshehu, if you eat it and now you just left it the slice, so let's say you can say that's the chafta. My kikar is gone. I don't have a kikar anymore. I don't have an Erev. Right? Or do you say, my Erev is the bread? Which happens to be in the form of a kikar or whatever, but my Eruv is the substance of the ochal. It's the ochal of the maichal, of the food for Shabbos. Food for Shabbos is the kikar, and the fact that it happened is the bread. The fact that it happens to be in the form of a kikar, so to speak, is lomayel v'lomorid. It doesn't register on the Eruv, and my Eruv is bread. So now if my Eruv is bread, so now I happen to have a little bit of less bread, but as long as I still have a kezias, it's in the same ballpark of quantity. It's bread. It's a chashav amount of bread. In which case, I still have an Eruv. Right? So that's the question. Does the framework of Eruv, which is a Michael Shal Shabbos, that's the idea, does it recognize the fact that, I mean, there's no halacha that you have to use a full kikar. Right? There's no halacha like that. But if you do use a full kikar, does that register? Do you say, like, the qualitative identity of the entity is nitfas as my Eruv? This is an Eruv of a kikar. Why would it be an Eruv of a kikar if you don't need it? Like, what is it? You know, you don't say this is like a rare meat, you know, Eruv, or hard-boiled Eruv, or, I mean, there's no status like that in my Eruv, right? But you'd say, since the whole idea of the Eruv is Michael Shal Shabbos, it's Michael Shal Shabbos. So maybe you'll say, if it's a better Reichel Shal Shabbos, if it's a more chashiva entity, but like a kikar, so maybe you'll say it registers. That it's not just bread, but it's a kikar Eruv. It's not just the basic idea, you know. But the Gemara is teaching, no, it's not true. is that basically what registers is not Shem Hashem Eichel itself. And if you place an Erev out of bread, so basically it's the bread, the substance of the bread, the Ochel of the bread, which is the Shem Erev. And it doesn't, you don't say my Erev has a conceptual identity as an Erev Shel Kikar. It doesn't, it's not nitfas in the categories of an Erev. Just like a hard boiled egg and a soft boiled egg don't register, a Kikar or a big piece of bread or a small piece of bread, or a big bread, a little bread, or a Kikar bread or a piece of bread don't register. It's just I have an Erev of pas. Based on my Erev is pas. I have pas and I have a tavshel. So that's my Erev, it's an Erev of pas. The type of Michael. But the fact that it happens to be in a quality of a Kikar, you know, in that state, in that form, doesn't register on my Erev. The Erev is just registered, just recognizes the type of Ochel, pas or, you know, tavshel. If that's the case, so even if I leave a kosher, it's still as long as I look. I need a kezias because that registers. The size of the thing registers. If I take away kezias, I don't have an Erev anymore. But the nature of the form of the food, that doesn't register on the Erev. And therefore, basically, I still have my Erev even if I leave it with the kosher. I mean, that's what it's saying, is that kosher, that's what they want to thought, Hashem and the kosher, is that even the quantity doesn't really register. I had a place in the Erev of a Kazayas, but now the quantity also doesn't matter. So say, no. Kazayas, the quantity, that's intrinsically part of the Erev, is the quantity. You need a quantity of pas. The Kazayas. You can't listen to Kazayas. But when it's saying Koshu, it means the quality of Kikar, that doesn't register in terms of Erev. Yep. It could be that Rashi's Hamina is. I'm not sure. But it could be that according to Rashi, even according to the Havamina, if you had a kikar and you just took a bite out of it, also it would be still good, because you could argue that that's still a kikar, it's just a kikar shein oshalim. You know, so even according to the Havamina, even if you say it registers as a kikar, you could say it's still called a kikar. Perhaps. I'm not sure, but perhaps you'd say that. But there comes a point where it's a kolshu. Like Abi kikar shalim, it's called a kolshu. It means if you just left with a slice of bread, that's nothing to do with the kikar anymore. I'm not sure if that's only the case of the Havamina, or the Gemara's teach you even in that case it's good. You know what I mean? But according to the Havamina, really it would be possible, even it would be a problem even if you left even if you took any bad out of it, because now it's not a kikar anymore. Now it's, you know. I mean, I can hear that. I hear saying is it's still a kikar. It comes a point where it's still a kikar. You know, once you slice it up, it's not a kikar anymore. But you take a little bite of it, a little piece breaks off, you can say it's like a, you know. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm just saying is that the Gemara, I'm kind of limiting the Gemara. I mean, maybe it's a little less now. I'm not sure if you're still bothered by the fact that I'm limiting the Gemara. But I mean, Rashi is basing it on his wording of the Gemara, because the Gemara calls it a kolshehu, and therefore he's Rashi, but it's Rashi reading the Gemara. It's straight out of the Gemara, because it can't be talking about a case, I mean, that where you're taking the, you know, a 5 kazeis and making a 4 kazeis, because how is that a kolshehu? So that's why Rashi is deducing it must be that's the case. Ayah doesn't say that. That's what it's talking about. That's the Havamina. You have to, you know, figure out what's the Havamina, which the Gemara is trying to exclude. And the way it references that's what it's talking about is by saying Kol Shehu. Just to make a point of methodology is that sometimes you could, if you're learning with somebody, or if you're in a shiur, I guess it's equally applicable to both, but, you know, some of the other person could be saying a Svara, and you oftentimes you can't hear the svara because you have your own svara. So if you have your own svara, it kind of could block you from hearing his svara. And you may either not listen to it fully, you may not hear all the points, you may have questions on it. But sometimes they're not really good questions. It's just you're not disposed to hearing a different svara. So oftentimes it's a good idea. I mean, you have this liberty when you're with a chavrusa, not necessarily in a shir, but often you could. You could present your, you know, hear his svara, present your thing, get them both on the table, and then discuss it. You know, sometimes you'll realize, you may realize quickly your svara doesn't hold any water, and then you'll be able to hear his svara better. So it's always, it's a good idea to do that. It's also, I mean, sometimes you have that liberty, other times it's also good to notice when you're not accepting someone else's svara because you have a different svara. You know, like the goal, I think, is it's not always possible, hard to do. But the goal is when you hear it someone else's svara to forget, pretend you don't know anything, you know? Just hear the svara, forget about anything, you know? Forget about what you think the idea should be. Just listen to this thing and hear it out in its own merits. Is it good? Is it not good? Forget about any steps. Your problem is like svaras take steps and directions and you know, you kind of have a natural direction. But I think when you learn to someone else or you hear in a shir, You have the yesir ability to, at the time that you're listening to the svara, to totally just listen to the svara. You know, hear the idea. And then afterwards you go to visit it. Yeah. I mean, it's also something you should have. Is there's nothing wrong, I mean, objectively, I don't know, whatever, but there's nothing wrong with the learning and you come with two different svaras. I mean, I guess they're not both true, but whatever. You know, I mean, you can't necessarily resolve. You don't think, like, when you're learning, you have to get the best svara, and the other guy's either yours is, his is garbage, or, you know, if his is good, then yours can't be good. It's not true. You both have, like, good ideas. Different approaches, sometimes at different angles, different ways to take an idea. Just because, you know, you could hear his idea, let him say his idea, and maybe it could be good, then you could have a different idea, or you don't have a different idea. Worst comes to worst, you'll have two good ideas. You know, and then you could discuss them and keep them both in mind, and as the sugya develops further, and that definitely happens sometimes, especially when you're first starting out on a sugya, it's a good idea to not lock yourself in. Sometimes take two different svaras. Oftentimes, your svara, whatever svara you say, gets knocked out. Then you wish you had a second svara, you know? So it's good to, especially when you're first getting started with the sugya, to leave open different possibilities. You don't necessarily have to resolve what's the ultimate svara at the very beginning of what you're doing. Sometimes you don't have enough information to be able to resolve it, especially even at the end of the day, maybe there aren't two svaras, but at the beginning of a sugya, there could be even various options. You know, and it's only when you get further into different problems in the sugya that it kind of points you in one direction and not in the other direction. So, you know, it's better, it's good to keep your options open, especially the less information you have. That definitely happens. You first start in the sugya, you're changing svaras every day. You know, you just don't know, you know. If you learn two people, you could each have a few. You know. What do we have next? We have one thing left, one or two things. Well, maybe we'll just limit it to one thing. Is the question, the Havamina is that there would be a maximum shear for an Erev. Okay? Because Mara says, ain't no shear. Doesn't have a shear. So he says, oh, you see, there's no shear. There's no kazayas. So he says, no, of course you have a Gnita kazayas. Ain't no shear means there's no maximum shear. So he said, what kind of thing? I think it's a maximum shear of an Erev. Why would there be a maximum shear? Who cares if you have a big Erev? So just keep your Havamina Haskana for that. Okay? And then, I don't know, maybe we'll do a Hashgacha tomorrow also. Maybe we'll just try to give a quick svara for that. And then tomorrow's Thursday, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if the next thing in this Hashgacha route is the famous story of Shammai and Hillel. Shammai and Hillel about how they used to prepare for Shabbos.
Right.
Sorry, man.
Sorry, I'm gonna be tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, was Matt there also?
I don't think so.
Where is it? I don't know. Was that for Shabbos you were over? Oh yeah. Shabbos. Is Minik was there maybe also?
Yeah.
Zuckerman. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So Shammai and Hillel. It's the very next Gemara. It's Tazayinam and Aleph. The next in the story about it says. It's basically tiny. Amr lo Hillel Shammai Hazakin. It's like 10 lines in. And up till Hillel Baruch Shem Yom Yom. It's a few lines. Okay? Till Amr Bicham, Rabbi Chanina. Like 10 lines or so. 5-10 lines. Okay? It's a famous story, you'll see. Shammai and Hillel, they're two different middos. Okay? And I guess you could do the Rashis. Okie dokie. So, but I guess first we should try to do that other thing. You know? First, you should just give a svara for that question. If there's a maximum shear, what's the Havamina to be a maximum shear?